suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the district of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues speaking of mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" And others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, God.
This morning's gospel reading comes from John, the 14th chapter, again, the Upper Room Discourse, which is quite a bit of teaching by Jesus on the right around the Last Supper. And he talks a lot about the Holy Spirit in this whole section, because the Spirit is up next. You know, talk about somebody that's on deck. The Spirit is on deck. Jesus is up to bat. And so he's ready to introduce the Spirit here. Let's look at verses 8 through 17 of chapter 14. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. It is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Andy, would you lead us in prayer at this time?
We believe and we trust you. And Lord, I pray that you just pour your Spirit into Frank now, and that we can hear your words, not his. And just tune our ears to hear you, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for being our Father.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Always be ready. Well, we just celebrated Mother's Day. And that means Father's Day is in the offing. It's another month away. And there are a whole lot of holidays. If you look on your calendar, if you have a Hallmark calendar, you find that there are holidays dotting the calendar all the time. It's big business. But underneath the big business, there's also a lot of care that happens. As a matter of fact, there is a Secretary's Day. You probably know that. Do you know what month that's in?
April.
That's in April. Yep. Also now called Administrative Assistance Day. Then there's President's Day. What month?
February.
That's an easy one. MLK Day?
January.
I don't know how many people send cards for that. But, now hold on. What about Grandparents Day? Well, every day. September the 8th, 2013. Tell your kids. Now, Pastor's Appreciation Month. That's October. That's right. Boss's Day. That's October as well. In fact, this year it's October the 16th. These are all labeled holidays, and you can find a Hallmark card for just about all of them. But today is Pentecost. Happy Pentecost. You think you're going to find a card for that? Yes, you will. Ta-da! There are cards available for this holiday. After all, it's our birthday. And here's one of the cards that you can order. It's coming up now, I can tell. There it is. You can get this card. You can order it through Target and pick it up in their photo department. So I thought, no. Yeah, there are cards for Pentecost. There it is. That sounds like a familiar theme for us, right? Come, Holy Spirit. And if you look inside, here's the sentiment. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then the wish for us all, may the gift of God's Spirit fill your hearts, homes, and your family this Pentecost. So there are even Pentecost cards. And that's not the only one. I saw loads of them online. I mean, not as many as Christmas cards or birthday cards, but still interesting. And it's something to celebrate because this is the birthday of the church. Things changed when the Holy Spirit was given to the church on that Pentecost Sunday. And we've never been the same since. That's good. This is not a once-a-year event that you just somehow reach into the box and you pull out the decorations. No, this is just a signal event that says this is how life is for us now. In the church, the Holy Spirit wants to live vibrantly in our midst, not just in you, but in us gathered together. After all, when the Holy Spirit was given to the church on the day of Pentecost, was the Holy Spirit given just to one individual, only to Peter, who spoke? No. The Holy Spirit was given to everyone that was gathered there in that upper room. And the Spirit continued to fan out like fire as people began to come to know Jesus. The historical age of the church is the age of the Holy Spirit. We are nothing. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, we're nothing. Without me, you can't do anything, said Jesus. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't have Jesus, because that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. Introduces us, convicts us, gets us ready. There are many facets to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you would do a thorough study, it'll take a book. But we're just going to look just right here in verses 16 and 17, where Jesus here in this upper room, as he's talking to his disciples, says, I'm going to give you, and when I go to the Father, we're going to send somebody. He's going to change your life. These are the roles of the Holy Spirit. Let's look again at these two verses. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not know him, behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." So what are the roles of the Holy Spirit? One of the things that we learn from this passage is that the Holy Spirit comes to be at our side. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The word for spirit here, or helper, parakletos, which is the Greek word, the fancy word, if you take that word apart, it literally means someone who is called alongside. So the Holy Spirit is called alongside, right here. And I need the Holy Spirit right here, because he's the one, as Andy prayed, he's really the one that shares the message. I'm just a mouthpiece. If it's a good sermon, it's his. If it's not, it's probably mine. That's the difference. But then again, it's not just me. That same Holy Spirit is sitting next to you. So if it's a good sermon to you, it's because the Spirit is mediating something to you. If it's not a good sermon, well, it's probably because you're not asking the Spirit to bring you light. That's what the work of the Spirit is. So we ask the Spirit, come sit with me. Now, he's going to sit with you whether you like it or not. But sometimes we're just not aware. We're turned aside. We're turned away. I was thinking this morning of how when I was in the hospital in late December and into the first part of January, our daughter came and sat with me for a half an hour. I was clueless. I slept through the whole thing. But that didn't mean she wasn't there. When I woke up, there was a note sitting on my tray table that she had been there. And that encouraged me. But you see, whether I asked her or not, I mean, I didn't ask her to come. She just came and sat there. And she was with me. I didn't even know it. I wished I'd awakened, because I would love to have been able to see her. Let's wake up. The Holy Spirit is there by our sides to comfort us. When we go through the death of a family member or a close friend, someone that we've worked with, even our own deaths, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. When we have pain, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to help you to get through this. When you've had to move from New Jersey to Florida, the Holy Spirit is there to say, Pat, you're not alone down here. I'm with you.
But there's no place like seeing you.
I know. I told you that before you left. You're not going to find a place like this. There's no place like home. If we go through emotional stress, the Spirit says, I'm right here with you. The Spirit also advocates for us. You know what an advocate is? The French word, advocat, l'avocat, it means lawyer. Somebody, when we are falsely accused, stands with us and helps to plead our case. And so, anybody here ever been falsely accused? Well, most of us have at some level. We've been falsely accused of things. Sometimes we're rightfully accused. But you know, this advocate still sits with us, stands with us, stays with us, and pleads our case because he sees better days for us. He's also helper, bringing power to us to do the thing that's uncomfortable for us to do. Like if we're an introvert, and we have to walk across the room to say hello to somebody. You ever have an argument with yourself? Come on, introverts. Ever had this argument with yourself? Say, I don't want to do that. And the Holy Spirit says, come on, I'll go with you. And he says, I will. I'll go with you. And you'll be amazed at what happens. I'll walk with you. And I will work through you. I will be your power. Always at our side. The Spirit is also, according to this passage, the Spirit of truth. The one who leads us into truth. Now, if you turn it to your Bibles to chapter 16 and verse 13, we read this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. The Spirit of truth leads us to that which is true. He's the one who breathes the Word of God. Literally, breathed the words into their existence as they were written by those who wrote, like Peter and Paul and Moses and John and Mark and Hosea. The Holy Spirit was right there with them, breathing. And the word for the inspiration literally means God breathed. Theopneustos, it means God breathed. So he's the one who's breathing the Word of God. And he also interprets that breathed word for us. You say, I don't understand. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm glad you asked. Let's sit together about this. And interestingly, the Holy Spirit doesn't just sit with you when you're quietly reading by yourself. The Holy Spirit is present with us together as we come to a class and seek to unpack it and understand. What does this mean? You ever get to a class and you say, I don't understand this. And somebody gives you an insight and you say, oh, the light came on. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through that person. We're meant to do this work together, not to try to figure it out on our own. That's, again, the one who helps us to interpret this breathed truth. He also gives us insights that are not otherwise known. Have you ever been in a situation like I have where I've been counseling a person? And I'm thinking, oftentimes when I counsel someone, whether it be an individual or a couple, I do that with constant prayer. I'm not just, you know, trying to cook something up. I ask the Holy Spirit to do all the cooking, and I want to eat. So I ask, Holy Spirit, help me to see what's in this situation. Give me wisdom. Give me truth. Reveal to me something that I have not yet seen in this situation. So he will give us insights that we don't otherwise know. And again, sometimes it will come while we sit quietly and listen, and sometimes it will come while we're together. He also, as the Spirit of Truth, speaks our next steps as to what we should be doing. Where should we be going? He speaks to us about the fellowship, the relationships that we have. He speaks to us about spiritual growth and about the ways that we might serve. So when we come together again, the Board of Mission will be meeting next week. There are some issues that the Board of Mission is dealing with. Do you think we're going to just put our heads together and come up with something? That would be an exercise in futility. No, we invite the Holy Spirit to speak in our midst. I've oftentimes been amazed in meetings when we take a few moments just to be quiet and pray. And then when we come up from that, something clicks and we get something. That's the Holy Spirit speaks to us about our next steps. And he also moves us, I realize this is a crash course here, but he also moves us from orthodoxy to orthopraxis. He said, wow, they're $50 words. Well, we're growing up. And orthodoxy means right doctrine or right teaching. And many churches have, there's a lot of emphasis on right teaching, and so there should be. But there needs to be equal application. And that's what orthopraxis means. It means right practice. So the Holy Spirit says, all right, you've read it. Now, Let's live it. So he moves us from orthodoxy to orthopraxis, from right doctrine to right living. And he changes us. And we say, I don't know if I can do that. The Holy Spirit says, you don't have to. I will do it through you. That's my job. And again, that's when we pray for one another. We encourage one another and say, you know, this is really hard for you. It's hard for me, but I'm with you. When I say that to somebody else, it's not just me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I'm with you. And many of you have experienced that just as I have. In the times when it's scary, or we're angry, or we feel hopeless, the Holy Spirit says, I'm with you. And the last point that I want to speak about as far as the role of the Holy Spirit is this, that he abides with us. He comes to make his home in us. It says that, in the last part of verse 17, it says, "But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." The word abide literally means to make a home with, to dwell, to inhabit. Because the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us, he shows us how Christ is present in our situation. Jesus said, if you abide in me and let my words abide in you, ask anything and it'll be done for you. Abide, it's the same word there. It literally means to make your home with. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to make a home with you. Let's get married. Let's just live together. No, let's get married. Let's make a home together. And that's what he wants. And he says, I'll do it, but I'm going to wait for you to invite me. I'm going to wait for you to get down on one knee and ask me. And that's what he wants. Together, then, the Holy Spirit creates a body of disciples. And these disciples have a mission, a task, to bless other people and to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Now, where does that sound? Where have I heard that before? Check the back of your bulletins at the top. That's our mission statement. To bless others with the love of Jesus Christ and together to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. That's our mission. And he says, together, I will be in your midst and I will help you together to follow. But don't think you can do it by yourself. It's nigh near to impossible to do it by yourself. I need the Holy Spirit. This really hit home in a very practical way. In a story that perhaps you have read, or maybe you've seen the movie. By the way, it's just come out on DVD. How many of you have seen Babette's Feast? Anybody here ever see Babette's Feast? Okay. One, Kathy, you've seen it. You just don't remember, probably. It's a memorable movie. It really is. Philip, didn't it impress you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a powerful movie. It's a movie about a French chef who takes refuge among a small, somber Christian sect in Denmark, because there's political unrest in her country. Now, the father, who is the pastor in the home where she is living, is pastoring this dwindling, dry, straight-laced church. They're good on orthodoxy. Got it? They take Scripture apart and parse it word by word, and they are determined to always do the right thing. And yet in their minds, oftentimes the right thing leaves them kind of like robots and not feeling a whole lot. Well, The pastor's wife is dead, and he has these two daughters who give up their romances to serve the church. And well into their adult years, Babette shows up. And she's seeking work and safe haven. And her only tie to Paris is a lottery ticket that a friend in Paris pays for her every year. Ta-da! One year she finds out she has won the French lottery. And she uses that money to make a feast that nobody will ever forget. That's Babette's feast. Babette makes her bold decision. She obtains all the food, and it just keeps coming in by cartload. And she begins the preparation. The preparation for this meal takes days. Aromatic meats, cheeses, soups, breads, and fine wines. Babette could have used this money to return to Paris, but she didn't. She's a grateful soul, and she wants to bless this family. She sees something in them that's not yet come, it's not been worked out, and she wants them to have a joyful experience. The day comes for the feast, and the people arrive, and they have secretly counseled together. They don't want to offend Babette, so they will eat the meal. But they've counseled together that they will not enjoy anything. That's orthodoxy without orthopraxis, by the way. And their covenant also says that they won't mention anything positive as they're eating. They'll simply eat it as if they were slurping gruel. Now, one of the church members brings a guest. And the guest happens to be one of the daughter's former suitors. So he comes to the feast, totally unexpected. He has served for years in the military as an attaché working in Paris. He knows these exquisite gourmet offerings that are being served. He's not under the agreement. And he just can't say enough good about this sumptuous meal that's on the table. And little by little, the guests begin to release their austerity, and they enjoy the food. And they start to enjoy one another. And there's laughter. And their hearts start to meet. And the distrust gives way to fellowship and forgiveness. And old wrongs are forgiven. Ancient loves are rekindled. And the people dance their way home after the meal. What a transformation. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Takes a very somber gang and infuses us with joy, joy, joy. Now the sisters are certain that Babette is going to return to Paris after she's served this meal. It's like, this is my last supper with you. But they take in the incredible news that she's broke now. She'd spent all the money on the meal. She can't go anywhere. And one of them tearfully says to Babette, "Now you will be poor the rest of your life." And Babette says, "An artist is never poor." I'm looking at Tom. But we're all artists, are we not? Some of us might not be able to do much with a pen with a brush and a canvas, but we all are artists of sorts. With the Holy Spirit in our midst, we have one who is with us to do this work of art. We have one who is an advocate, a helper, one who leads us into truth. This is not a dry, lifeless truth. It drips with the joy of the presence of God's Spirit, the wine of the kingdom. The fresh wind of the Spirit inspires us and breaks down walls and grows us together to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Do you want more of that? Does this sound like something you're looking for? I know that many of us have experienced it. Maybe we've gotten to a place where we've started to fall into dry orthodoxy again. Again, orthodoxy doesn't have to be dry. It just sometimes gets that way. And that's what happened in that Danish church. But they were still orthodox when the meal was over. But now the joy was working out in their midst. Is that what you want? Jesus says, then just ask. The Holy Spirit comes to people who ask. Ask, and it will be given to you. You don't need a greeting card. Happy Pentecost. Let's pray. Lord, the joy of knowing you, when we allow ourselves to spend this time, does indeed transform us. And Lord, we want to pray together for people that don't know you and don't have the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Spirit who drips with enthusiasm and hope and love and forgiveness and peace and all the goodness. Lord, we open ourselves. Pour yourself into us, Lord, together as a congregation so that people would easily see the Spirit lives here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn.